recorder back on. So basically this is part two, and I'm doing a new thing on the smart board and a new thing on the audio because we had a problem. Okay, so I'm going to look at the first one, and again, not all of these validate Strix. This uses the three types of style. Okay, so if I click on this, you can see the three types of style. So, I can do style in three different ways. I can do style embedded on the page in the body. So I did here, style equals color orange. Okay, that's embedded. I can do it up here in the head where I've got the H3 going on. I can also link to an external style sheet. And that's what I did at the top there, where I said link hReference equals text CSS 1AX. So I am linking to an external style sheet. And whenever I do a link, I tell it the kind of thing. So I'm linking to a style sheet, and it's written in text, specifically CSS text, so that I tell it what to expect it to be written in. Okay, so now if I go back, or actually I think I'll open up another window so that I can have everything open simultaneously. So if I look at this, notice I said download and save with CSS. I had problems in earlier versions with if I opened something as a CSS, it was doing wraps, and if I opened it as a text, it wasn't. So I have saved this out here, both with a text extension and a CSS extension. Okay, so if I click on this and open it, that comes up. If I change this to .css, I see exactly the same thing. So I've got the exact same thing saved out there as text and as CSS. And the reason I did it that way, as I said, is I was having problems with the things that I put out there as .css and you opening them in a notepad, and it was doing wraps. So when I saved it as text, it came through better, so I just said fine. Okay, so I am now linking to this style sheet. Now notice this style sheet is just taking what I would have put inside style up in the header and just pasting it over there. I don't have anything that tells it it's CSS, other than when I did the link, I told it this is going to be CSS. But I don't tell it it's CSS, I just write it. But it knows that I am linking to a style sheet done in CSS, so it reads it as CSS. And that's the critical thing, is it reads it as CSS. Okay? So, now the order. Notice that I have body, I said the color is green in the external style sheet. So that means the default color is green. Okay. Then I went on and I said, oh, but if it's an H1 or H2, make it red. And if it's an H3, make it blue. And if it's a paragraph, make it blue. Okay. So then I came over here and I changed my mind. So I said, oh no, the H3, I told you to make it blue there. I want you to make it purple. And you will see that the H3 is purple. The thing that is closest wins. So the style sheet that's external, okay, can be overridden in the head of a particular page. So you can say, okay, you may usually want colors to be blue on all the pages that use this style sheet, But on this one, I want the color of H3s to be purple. So I'm going to change it. And then down here, I said, okay, this paragraph, I want it to be orange. Over here, I'd said on the external that I wanted it to be blue, but it will make all the paragraphs blue except for that particular one, which it made orange. Okay? And if I had put an H3 down here and made that a different color, that would have won. In the body wins. So the thing that's closest wins. Okay, so if I give it conflicts, the thing that is closest wins. Now, is that a good idea to give it conflicts? No, not really. You should try to be direct about it, because in fact you're going to drive people crazy if they have to say, oh no, you want it blue, oh no, you changed it to orange, oh no, you changed it to green. You know, that's not an easy read. So on the whole, it's not a good idea. But what you put in the external style sheet is usually a style that applies to multiple pages. It doesn't have to, it could just apply to one. But if I have a site, and I want my site to have a beige background for every page, then I'll do it in the external and I'll link all of the pages to that site. Then if I want to make changes for this particular page, I put it in the head. And then if I want to make changes for this particular paragraph on this particular page, I put it down in the paragraph. And again, we've talked a little bit about class. We're going to talk more about class. This is really not used very much because people tend to use classes instead. So embedding it in the body is not used very much. Okay. So this is what I set up. Now, notice down at the bottom I have font family. Font family is basically where I get to choose what font I want things to be in. What you should always do when you're doing this is pick the font you want the most, put that first, but always put a default at the end. So that if that font doesn't exist on somebody's computer, you have a default font, like Times New Roman is a good default because everybody has it. Courier New is a good default because everybody has it. Or you can just do the classification of sans serif or serif and say, I want something the default in serif, okay? But essentially, you can put them in there. If you have something that has embedded spaces, like Times New Roman, you enclose it in quotes. If it's just one word, you don't have to put it in quotes, although you can. So those are the font family. Now, some people just really like particular fonts that have to be downloaded. Okay? So if you want to have people use a particular font and you are communicating with a group that you think has a good chance that they'll use your quirky font, then go ahead and put it in there. But be sure to put in the comma something else for the people who haven't downloaded that font. Okay, you should never assume that anybody is going to have more than the standards fonts. But you're welcome to use them, you just need to give a default. And again, I've got a bunch of these where I am putting in these ampersand things. So I've got ampersand quote for a quotation mark, ampersand amp for the ampersand left greater than blank. There's a whole series of those. And if you go to W3 schools, they will give you a list of those that goes on. Okay. But if I am using these things that have special meaning, then it's better not to hope when I put in the quote that it's going to understand that it's just a quote symbol I want to print. Because a quote usually has to have an ending quote to make it sense, and so it can get easily confused. So if I want to actually print a quote, it is better to just say use and put in the quote symbol. So over here I said for the quotation mark, and I've got quotes there, and I've got an ampersand showing, and so I've got all those different things showing over here in the text that I got by putting these things in. Okay. Less than, greater than sign of the one of the ones, because obviously less than and greater than signs have meanings. Yeah, let's see if I can take a picture of that. Less than and greater than signs have meanings. Okay. Okay, so this followed the hierarchy. If you actually go through and follow it, you'll see that all the colors worked. And I actually got the colors that I wanted, and very few things got left to green. Okay, the next one. Do I have any art majors here? Oh, good. Because we're going to be going down the tubes with art pretty soon. Okay, so this one has absolutely no style in it, except the style that I'm linking to. So when I look at this page, I see absolutely no style, okay? What I have to do is bring up the style that goes with it, which is this one. And again, this says text, but it has been also put out there with the .css. So it's actually the .css I'm reading. If I change this .txt to .css, I'll see exactly the same thing. Okay. So again, if I go and change this .txt to .css, I'll see exactly the same thing. Now, this isn't because of magic. It's because I put them both out there. I put it out there twice, one with the .txt and one with the .css. Okay. So here I've got the body set up with a whole bunch of things. Okay, and I did one table where I did a background of white and a border that's solid and thick. Now, notice the color on that border. The color is green because I didn't specify a color on the table and I had a default color up there green. So it made it green. Okay, now that's the kind of thing, and let's see if I can actually get it to take a picture of everything. Yes. Okay. That's the kind of thing that if I bring this up in another browser, it may handle it differently. Because if I'm not concrete in what I'm saying I want, then it gets to interpret. If I care what that border is, then I should specify the border color. Okay, nope, that one gave it too. Explorer did not used to do that, and I couldn't remember whether it had changed or not. So now they're looking the same. But it used to be that if I brought it up in Explorer, I got a white background, that it went with the color on the original. Yeah, I think I've got it all. It used to be that the border took the same as the background in some browsers. Now, the point is still, even though it now seems to have been fixed, if I put background color and then I write border color, then I've been specific. And if I've been specific, I am not concerned about the interpretation of the browser. Okay? If I leave something open, and I did here, I left open the fact that I wanted a border, but I didn't tell it the color of the border. So that leaves it open to interpretation. And it might say, okay, well, if you want the background white, I'll make the border white. Or it might go back up to the default of color green that goes with the body and pick that color. Okay, you're giving it some options. So, basically, what I'm saying is be careful. Okay. And if you care, if you don't care, that's fine. If you care, be specific. Questions? Okay. This is a different one that I don't think I've mentioned before, but a paragraph, if you wanted to indent the first line, you can say text indent, which is kind of nice. I don't know. Does anybody ever indent the first line of a paragraph anymore? What do they teach you in English?
You're supposed to.
Are you?
I know I do when I'm writing research.
Huh?
I normally do.
You normally do? Okay.
I don't know if that's what they teach anymore, but...
No, I just was curious what they taught, because I get mixed when I get work from students. Some will indent the first line, others won't.
Personal and then professional is always the straight solid. If it's a personal letter, you're writing to somebody. That's the way I was taught 30
okay.
years ago.
So personal is indented and professional...
Writing a thank you letter or something like that.
Yeah.
Too.
Memos I frequently see indented. But then again, I frequently see them not indented. So anyway, if you care...
On a paper, yeah, I indent.
If you care, text indent will do that for you. Okay? If you don't, you're going to get it all up against the left margin. But that style will do the indent for you. So that's kind of a nice style. And I'm supposed to be able to write now, right? So, yes.
Okay.
Indent first line. Okay, so that will indent the first line. Okay? It's amazing what is out there. And we want to take the speaker off. There we go. Okay. Okay, this is another example that has the line out there, that has the, and I want rev 2, and that's rev, so I want to come out here and find rev 2, okay. So this one, I did the border color. Okay, so on this one, it's the same as the other one. The only thing I wanted to point out is I had put the border color in here, so I get the border color I asked for. And at the time point when Explorer was doing it differently, this fixed it, so they both did it the same, because I specified the border color. Okay, so now let's look at the next one. Okay, this one, everything is inside. And again, I'm not doing anything different, so I'm going through this quickly. But this time I took and pasted everything inside the body, inside the head, rather. And so the style is all inside the head, and so it is one page. And I did the same things. Okay. This is how not to do it. We're getting into the how not to's now. And I want CSS 2X. Okay, so there is a lot of code. Okay. Now, a couple of things to notice here. I had put in here background image, but then I put background aqua, and that overrode, so I did not get a background image. Okay, because background of aqua overrode that. I believe that if I changed that to background color, it would have been all right, and I would have got aqua with the image. Okay. And that would be something worth trying. But I have to save all these images in order to be able to try it, so maybe I'll try it during your break when you're working on something. Okay, so that is the background for the whole body is aqua. Okay, so now I look down and notice I have a background image for this paragraph. So the point is I can make a background color or I can make a background image for a section. So I made a paragraph there and I put the background image in it. Okay? So that is getting me the color. I mean the background, the flags. Now this is a what not to do, because in fact the stuff that's written on that is barely legible. And so it's not something you want to do. This is a what not to do. Background should be easy, light, you know, not overwhelming, and all that good stuff. Okay, so now I've got on here classes. And let me try to move this in. I have set up here in my style sheet, in my external style sheet, a class that I've called center and a class that I've called right. And probably those were lousy names because right and center mean something. So probably I should have used class like apples and oranges better or something that doesn't mean something in particular. Okay? But I was going to align to the right and align to the center, so they have meaning in that point of view. But it would probably be better to say center A or right A or make some other change. But these are what's called classes. So out here, all of the rest of the stuff up there were tags. And if I have a tag, then I just put the name of the tag and tell how I want it styled. If it's a class, I put a dot and then the class name. And this says, this is how I want that class to be styled. Then over on my page, I put in the word class equals, and I put the name of the class. So I basically said, I want whatever is in here to be classed to the right. I want here to be centered. I want here to be centered and here to be right. And I'll scroll down in a second and show you the results of that. But that's setting up a class. Okay, so the alternative to that would have been to put the word style in here after the TD. And write the style of text align center, semicolon, color pink. And that would have put it in for that particular. Now, the problem is that both times I wanted to send her, I'd have to do that. And if there were 10 times I wanted to send her, I'd have to write the entire style out for each one. So it's a lot easier to set up a class if I want to do it repetitively. If I want to do it once, it's 6 of 1, 6 dozen of another. But if I want to use, if I had 10 different things where I wanted to have right apply to them, it's a lot easier to have right set up as a class than it is to write those 4 things 10 times. Okay? So I'm of the belief that probably part of the reason the classes were set up was laziness. I don't want to have to redo things over and over and over again. Maybe that's not lazy, maybe that's efficiency. Okay? So here is the source, here is the style, and you can see those words down there, and they are conforming to what I said I wanted. So the first one is supposed to be to the right. Okay, and it is pushed to the right, except it's pretty much filling it. The next one is centered. The centered things are pink, the things to the right are orange. And then down on the bottom line, I have the high centered and the by over to the right. And I put in small things so you could see better that in fact it was centered and to the right. So it followed the classes. It did what the classes told them to do. And then what else do we have? Okay, this one is just horrible. Okay, it is something you should never do because what would you do if you went to that page? Okay.
I'm already busy.
You're right. So it is not a good thing to do. And what am I looking for there? The style that I'm looking for or lack thereof is CSS3. Okay, so now I have said I want a background image of CISA GIF, so that's the background image. Then I want a image on the background of a paragraph, and you can see if you look through that it actually has the underlying image underneath it. And essentially, it's horrible, but it also shows a lot of different style elements. Okay. And the last one is showing a problem. No, actually, that one's not showing a problem. I think the next one shows the problem. Okay, so this one I have 2 classes I set up. One is called Outline. Yeah, right, I'm trying to get that to show up. One is called Outline and one is called Picture Box. So here's the class, and notice this time I did it in the header. And this particular class has a background image that's blue and a margin left and a margin right, so it's been centered in. And it's got a border that's solid, medium, and brown. And the picture box has the background image of the images and no text in it. Okay, it just says BR, 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 BR because I wanted to show the image in there. Well, that's a lousy way to show the image, but it is a background image that I put on that box. But if I wanted to show the image, I should set up an image source equals and not set up a background image in a box for it. Okay. But it works. And then the very last one in that set has a problem. This is the one that has a problem. And if I do a view page source, okay, I can if I want to, and let me get this so that you can read it. I can if I want to specify that a class only applies to a particular tag. So here I'm saying the class pickbox only applies to divisions, a tag of div. It only applies to divisions. So this only applies to divisions. Now down below at one point, I put a paragraph, class equals pickbox. And notice it just skipped. It didn't put anything in there. It didn't put any style in, because that style cannot be associated with a paragraph. It can only be associated with a division. So I wrote the BRs, and those came out just fine because those are just BRs. But all of the style that I wanted on that particular paragraph didn't happen because I had reserved that class for only divisions and said it can only apply to a division. So down below, I have it applying to a division and it worked just fine. But up here, I have it applying to a paragraph and it wasn't fine. I honestly don't quite comprehend why people would want to specify a class as associated with only a type most of the time. Because most of the time, I don't have to use it if I don't want to. But most of the time, unless it's going to give really strange results, I don't understand why people would do that. But they do. Questions? Okay. 50 minutes, 40, you got about 50. Okay, so what we're gonna do now is do the exercise. Because I really, I don't think I wanna get into the next, we'll save that for next week. I think we've looked at enough. So I'm gonna go back here and this is what I want you to do in class. Okay. So on the first one, I gave you some definitions. And I said the selector of the HTML tag you're working with. Okay, so the selector is the HTML tag, or it could be a class. The declaration tells what to do with the element. It has both a property and a value. Okay, the property defines the attribute and ends with a colon. The value tells the impact on the attribute, and a semicolon is used to end each declaration. Okay, so basically what I'm saying is we've been using common sense terms as opposed to official terms, so I'm now pointing out the official terms. So the P over here is the selector. So I'm saying select a paragraph. Then I'm saying the declaration, this whole style thing of colon, color, colon, green, semicolon is the declaration. And it's all enclosed in the curly braces. Okay? The declaration has a property which defines the attribute being the color. The property being the color, property or attribute is a color. And the value tells the impact, so the green is the value. So I'm saying the property of the attribute is color. And those are the list of words that you can use in side CSS. You can't, in other words, over here, you can't just pick and say, I'd like to use this word. You have to use CSS words. So those are the CSS words. And then the value also can have some restrictions. So for example, if you want to put something in, you can say, I want this to be centered right at a left. But I can't say, I'd like to write this in the middle of the page or something like that. You have to use specific words. Okay, so the value is also specific words. It tells the impact on the attribute. And then you have a semicolon to end the declaration. So the declaration is made up of a property and a value, which is really the attribute. The property is really the attribute. So they're one and the same, as I guess what I'm saying. And the value is the color. So I have answered question one for you. Okay, you're supposed to tell me that, but just because I want you to tell me that, but I've pretty much defined it up above. So then the next three are things that I want you to fix up and to make sure that they validate. Okay, so in the first one, you'll see that it just has the text, and I want you to make it so that it will do look like what I've drawn there. In this one, I used old CSS. I want you to use newer CSS. And on this one, it doesn't validate, so I want you to fix it so it validates. You're welcome to work together. You're welcome to work separately, whatever you want to do, but I'd like you to do those and try to get them working. And we may even have time to look at the solutions. So you can download these three things, and after you download them, you can then work with them. Well, they're doing that, I can answer your question, maybe.
I have a question about the source code.
Okay.
The last problem. I'm just a little confused that I'm going the right direction.
Okay, so let me read the last problem since I don't remember. The order process is when order is received, the customer number is checked against the customer file, and the customer is in the customer, the sign of the sales code for creates an account. Next day, the number is checked against inventory. The order is valid. Second number is not in the file. Something else happens. Cream on hand indicates an empty bill. Something happens.
So, and then send they not related to each other. So, I mean,
I was going to basically say yes. I was going to put them on like so new customer. Yeah. Okay. So, is it a new customer? Is it a new item number? Okay. Which is the first, so you would ask if it exists. And can the order be filled? Yeah.
But I mean, it doesn't matter, like, for the order, it's not supposed to be the customer.
Right, I mean basically.
Because right here, for example, the both new customer is not new and the item is not new, but the order still can be filled, so.
Yeah, pretty much you want to, the order can be filled is asking if it's
just
in the
only, okay.
So you would not do that.
That's what I was asking.
Because
if they are related
then,
or not.
Yes, they're related. So if it's a new customer.
It's supposed to be a new item, and if it's a new item.
I don't think, let me go back and see. Let me see what I've said to do. So new customers get assigned to a sales clerk who creates a new account, and then the order is a process. So yes, you can go ahead and process it. But you have to have one of your actions that is create a new account.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have to be checked as well.
Okay.
And then go on the process. Next, the item number is checked against the inventory images for valid item and item the pricing status. If the item number is not in the file, the customer assigned the account is given the auto verification.
So this should
be one more?
Yeah, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. I'm reading this.
if the item number is not in the file, I don't think that should be the person assigned to the auto, that should be the sales clerk. And it will represent Catholic. If the sales clerk assigned the time is given the auto for verification, it wouldn't be given back to the customer. Okay. So if it's not a new auto, but if the item number is not in the file, then I would think the sales I guess you can call the customer and ask them. So I guess I don't care what you say. But you can all call the customer and say, what do you really auto? So maybe you have to do that. But that's, I think, what I was getting. And then if the auto, so once you've got verification, then you can go ahead and say if the on-hand indicates the auto can be filled. So if the auto can be filled, an auto is sent to the warehouse.
So
yes, that's
step by step. So this is only for
after
for the new item. For the item that's not in the file.
Oh no, it's for the regular item too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So basically if you know
customer
you have to check off that it has to go and be processed specially.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not in the file, you have to check off that it has to be verified. And then you can go ahead and process the order.